Ik vind mig den här inte vad den är och den är vad jag kan ta hin så kan hon vad han kan. Det är med sig kan han inte kan. First of all, I'd like to thank the Seminole Nation, the traditional Seminoles, for an invitation that we can use their land for this gathering. I think it's wonderful. The land is beautiful. It's great. And then the organizers of the Treaty Council, you guys have done a great job, as well as the cooks there doing a great job, too. I've enjoyed two meals over here, and they've been great. There's a number of people that I know that I've met through some of my short travels. But I like to talk about, I'm a Western Shoshone. I'm from the Western Shoshone Nation in the Great Basin state of Nevada. A little short history. The coming of the non-indigenous people to our country was probably in the 1840s or something thereabout, when the fur traders are the killers of beavers and all the water animals came. And then after that, we, as a Western Shoshone people, we watched the different people come and go. But let's go back to the history of the United States and the relationship that they had with the indigenous people. By around 1883 or thereabout, they introduced the Dawes Act, which was the first act to destroy the collective system of the indigenous people. Under this act, they've taken many lands. Under this act was also a new and strange thing which they call private property. And so that was the first thing. Then in 1924, there was another act called the Citizenship Act. Under this act, they say you are now citizens of the United States of America, which you weren't before 1924. Even after 1924, with this act, you are still not the citizens because you don't have the same rights that's guaranteed under the Constitution for all other people. So I don't know that racism still stands out. Then in 1934 or thereabout, they introduced the Wheeler-Howard Act, also known as the Indian Reorganization Act. Under this act, they now have, in my opinion, a control over our people. Then in 1946 is one of the acts that everybody in being indigenous people in the United States know is 1946, the Indian Claims Commission Act. Under this act, it's not supposed to, what you may say, take your land from you, or it's supposed to pay Indian people that have already, through agreements or treaties, given up some of their lands to the United States, and it's supposed to pay them for that. It's not supposed to extinguish any land rights that still exist. And then one of the latest act, there are probably more acts because I don't keep up with it, is the Indian Religious Freedom Act, which I believe was around the 1978 era. And it always surprises me how we as Indian people, indigenous peoples, in the United States of America, they call it the home of the free, have been living under the acts of the United States. These acts, as we know, are to govern us or supposedly to give us rights. But being in the United States of America, you would seem to think that we had the same rights that was guaranteed to all other people in the United States of America. However, as we walk through life, we find out this is not true. I don't know if it's because of the color of our skins or is it because of the resources and the relationship we have with our lands, that we have all of these acts to control us. I wonder about that a lot of times. Then as we walk through this, I look at, you know, what's happening on our lands, the lands of indigenous people, not only here in the United States of America, but all over the Western Hemisphere. And not only the Western Hemisphere, but also other Pacific Islands or wherever indigenous people are. We seem to suffer from the hands of industrialized nations, corporations, what have you. Some of the last act that happened to the Western Shoshone people was, I believe in 2004, correct me if I'm wrong, Julie, is the Western Shoshone Distribution Act. Am I right, Julie? Anyway, under this act, we've been defeating, you know, the distribution of the so-called claims of money, which they found through the Indian Claims Commission that our land was taken by gradual encroachment. Now, if you look at gradual encroachment, what is gradual encroachment? That means if you invited me into your house and I sat there and then I gave you $10 and I tell you, get the hell out, it's mine now. That's basically what it means. Gradual encroachment. It's not a law. It's only what they use against the indigenous peoples. And that's what they used against us. I'm still, you know, it upsets me quite, you know, a lot, because the United States go all over the world and says we have sponsored or we are the keepers of human rights. And at the same time, you look in the United States, what's happening in the history of the United States as far as indigenous people is concerned, that they have violated our human rights. And if you violate somebody else's human rights, how can you go over to China and say that they're in violation of human rights? All they have to do is open their front door, or are they afraid to open their front door and see what the hell's going on? And so I look at these things. And today we also look at what's going on. There's a war going on in a country called Iraq. I look at this as what's happened to us. They come over here and they strip us of our lands. Is that what they're doing in Iraq? They're going to set up government that's something like the BIA. Then are they going to call it the Bureau of Iraqi Affairs? As we have the Bureau of Indian Affairs? I wonder about these things. It's their resources, I believe, what they want, and it's our resources, what they want, and it's our resource that they have taken one way or the other under the Indian Claims Commission Act. And I look at these things and we talk about what are we going to do about these things? What's happened? What's going to happen next? And, you know, most of our indigenous traditional nations have seen I can't blame our people, because it's, you know, we have what you call the government schools, which trained our minds how to think, how to operate, how to become American, how to be assimilated. That's what we learn in the government schools. And so they use our own people that went to these government schools, and they recognize the power, only the power that's given under the IRA Act, which gives the power to these tribal governments set up under their system, not under the indigenous system, but under their system, under the system they have a control over. If I remember right, I've talked to some people that in our homes, you know, in our homeland, that talk about how, you know, they go to the agency, then to the area office, then to the DC office or to the Secretary of Interior, and then how this chain works back and forth. I can't understand. If we're citizens of the United States of America under the 1924 Citizenship Act, how this can happen? I'm amazed at what America tells us and what they try to keep telling us. So we, in turn, look at ourselves under the same rules, regulations that they are looking at us. I guess one of the things that I can always say that I'm glad to say, probably I'm an outlaw in my own country, but I don't care. But I can say what I believe in. And I believe that we as indigenous peoples of this country, of this hemisphere, we should have the right to recognize who we are. Not because America recognizes us. They have said to me, Carrie Dan is not a Western Shoshone. And the question is, why not? Because she's not federally recognized. I'm not federally recognized, nor do I expect them to federally recognize me. I believe I am a Western Shoshone, and I have the rights, inalienable rights, that's not given to me by United States of America, because United States of America has no problem. It can't give that to me. What it doesn't have, it can't give to me. So I believe in those terms. I believe that we as indigenous peoples, we had our own government. We still have them. Some of them may be in hiding. And if we don't have them, let's go back to others that still have them and learn from them and be who we were and be who we are and who we should be. For the future generation, we have to do that. And you know why? Because we see the environmental damage that's being caused by the so-called industrialized civilized world, industrialized civilized people. And I just can't understand. If you're civilized, why in the hell are you destroying the forest, the water, the air? I mean, I don't understand what civilization might mean, you know. I would rather be called a savage or whatever. Whatever kind of label they put on me, I'll wear it with pride. Because when they put labels on you, you know you're doing something good. And I'll accept that. I keep telling my coworkers, you know, if you're labeled as something, accept it with a pride. Because you're doing something good and they're scared of you, and that's why they're calling you names. I believe strongly in that. I remember one time, Ms. Thorpe and I were probably in Oklahoma City or some of the doings of the Cherokee Nation, and I met this guy by the name of Parker, which I think he was part of, he's supposedly an indigenous person, but he was working for the federal government. And she introduced me to him, and he said to me, "Oh, so you're one of them that's been giving us a rough time." And she got kind of mad about that, and I said, "Hey, I'm glad to wear that label. Because that means somewhere along the way that we were doing something that they didn't want us to do. But we knew it was right for our people. So when they put labels on you, accept it with a pride and wear it very proudly. I do." In our homelands, we see gold mining, a lot of gold mining. As a matter of fact, gold mining is probably one of the largest industries, the best paying industry in the state of Nevada right now. We also have the nuclear waste dump that's proposed to be on our land. We also had the nuclear testing, and still there's subcritical testing that goes on. And of course, you know, we have the counterterrorism facility down there, and probably many of the so-called biological warfare facilities down at the test site. And we have everything. They won't tell us, but they might as well say Western Shoshone country is a sacrifice area. And it has to be. With all that they've done, gold mining pump out millions of gallons of water a day. Millions of gallons. And Nevada is supposed to be an arid country. And you pump that kind of water, what are you doing to the water table? In my way of life, in my way that our people have taught us, water is sacred. It is life. And yet these gold mining companies, these big corporations, they have a right to destroy that life. They have a right to destroy that life because the state of Nevada, who happens to own the water, they tell me, is there, and they're giving them the right to do so. I just want to, you know, remind our people, water is life. It's very sacred. As I sit here, I see these bottles of water. Where did they come from? I don't know. It probably would tell me if I look at it, if I have good enough eyes to read it. But as we go through life, you know, we see sacredness as being on sale. Water should not be sold because water is sacred. We see our air that is being contaminated, again, by gold mines, nuclear dumps, nuclear testing. And then we also see our lands being destroyed. Mining destroys large areas of land. I think I heard Rose say that they use cyanide. That's the same thing they use around us. Not only that, but there's also now recently the state of Idaho and Utah are complaining about Nevada's gold mine and saying they are having mercury contamination. That's from the gold mines. Here not too long ago in one of the Reno high schools, they dropped one of those little thermometers and it broke. And they had to close the school down for I don't know how many days. And yet, the amount of mercury that's being put out there by the gold mines is probably anywhere from 10 to 100% higher than what that little mercury thermometer would have exposed the children to. They're exposed to it anyway, whether they like it or not, because it's in the air. And all people, eventually, one way or the other, they're exposed to it, just like the nuclear contaminants that follow through here. Radiation, everybody's exposed to the nuclear radiation, and it doesn't matter where they live, because it travels through the air. And so does the mercury, it travels through the air. So nobody's free from that. And but yet, you know, they allow the gold mines to contaminate everybody. Especially the people that's closer, I guess, they get more contaminants. Anyway, these are some of the things that's happening in our area. And I guess I have one of the things is that how we as indigenous people, what are we going to do about it? I know I'm looking at Julie sitting over there. Julie is a young lady that works with us. I would like for her to come up and talk about some of the legal problems that we are having. Julie, would you please?